Blog Talk Radio.
Talking political news, cultural topics, and a little witchy stuff, too. This is Conservative Cauldron Radio with your host, Becky Noble. And now, here's your conservative Wiccan, Becky Noble.
You know, it is... It's just awfully good that someone with the temperament of Donald Trump is not in charge of the law in our country.
Yeah. Because you'd be in jail.
Secretary Clinton.
That was, I think, the line of the evening, last Sunday evening at the second presidential debate between Republican nominee Donald Trump and the Democrat nominee Hillary Clinton. Good Friday morning, everyone. We are back. You are listening live to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I am your host, Becky Noble. Thank you, everyone, for hanging out with me today. I was a little under the weather last week. I failed to get the license plate number of the truck that ran me over. And anybody out there who is married, is living with a significant other, or even a roommate, you know that... You know, as soon as one person in your household gets whatever it is you get, that you're sure to follow. And I was certainly no exception. Still getting over it a little bit here today, so I will apologize in advance for any time I have to hit my non-existent coughing button or anything like that to clear my throat and get it together here. So I apologize in advance for that. But as usual, we've got a ton of stuff to cover today, and there's never a dull moment. We've got poll numbers, and you know, I have a thing about the poll numbers. I don't know, but we'll get into it. And, of course, we have WikiLeaks. We have more debate. We have tons of debate sound bites, and so let's get into it. You can call here. The phone number is 347-857-2620. 347-857-2620. And, of course, the chat room is open, as always, for your convenience if you want to go that route. And, of course, I would be remiss if I did not remind one and all that you are listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio on Red Nation Rising Radio Network, www.rednationrising.us. Check it out. There is a ton of great programming there. Tons of awesomely talented people, two 24/7 live streams of fantastic internet conservative talk radio, and I assure you, you will not be disappointed. But let's kick things off here with, of course, the second presidential debate, which took place right here in St. Louis at Washington University last Sunday night. And you know, you would think something even as big as a presidential debate that happened on a Sunday, and by the following Friday, you would think that maybe it was getting a little old to talk about. Not in the least, especially with the release, I guess about a week ago now, Friday, of the incriminating audio tape and videotape as well of Donald Trump making some pretty disappointing is a kind of a sugarcoating of it, but some bad comments, some bad remarks about women in general. And but as you can imagine, the first question of the debate was about that tape. And you know, I thought that Donald Trump was surprisingly for him, that he was contrite, he was apologetic. And I thought that he really did the right thing, and that prior to this debate, I thought to myself, you know what? He needs to, everybody knows that this is going to be the first question of this debate. And so I think what he needs to do is to come out and do exactly what he did, basically, be apologetic, be contrite. I was wrong. I apologize to anyone and everyone who was offended by this. This is not acceptable conversation. This is not acceptable talk. And to spend maybe 30 seconds or a minute on it, but then talk about the issues. Talk about the issues that people want to hear about. And by all accounts, by all the polling data and things like that that I have seen myself, that people want to know. People want to know about the economy. People want to know about jobs. People want to know about terrorism, because that indirectly affects those things. You're not going to have, do not get a handle on terrorism and ISIS and Syrian refugees coming into the country. All of those other things aren't going to be an issue. Everything stems back to immigration, terrorism, people that we don't know, that we can't find things out about coming into the country. So I thought that he did well in that sense. And I kind of have a report here, a post-debate report here from Fortune magazine, I guess Fortune.com. And the way they described it was kind of interesting, that they said that, in fact, the clip that I just played here was, like I said, I thought it was the line of the night. And the way Fortune.com described it is that the moment is likely to reverberate. It amounted, after all, to a major presidential party candidate promising to use the criminal justice system to satisfy a personal vendetta against his challenger. No, that's not what it is. What it is someone finally who calls himself a Republican threatening to hold the Clintons accountable for something. And I think that I'm going to go off topic here for just a second, but I said it to several people this week. I think Donald Trump represents a lot of things. And one of the things I think that he represents is the fact that people who are old enough to remember Bill Clinton's presidency and all of scandal-ridden era of the 90s, of the Clintons, for someone to finally even threaten to, and maybe that's a bad choice of words, but it's the only one I can think of, for someone to even talk about holding the Clintons accountable, Donald Trump represents the fact that people are so tired of Clinton scandals, and that he may be the one person that would finally hold them accountable. I think he represents that to a lot of people, to a big block of people. And so I thought that description of that comment was interesting. They talked about the each other's tax plans. That was one of the comments that, or one of the topics that came up in the debate. Another portion of this report from Fortune.com says, asked how they'd change the tax code to ensure the wealthiest Americans are paying their fair share, Trump responded first by naming the capital gains treatment carried interest as a loophole he'd eliminate. Quote, one of the greatest provisions for people like me, to be honest with you, he said, and he promised tax cuts for corporations of all sizes and a, quote, big league cut for the middle class, while warning Clinton will, quote, raise your taxes really high. True to his theme, Trump also used his answer to press the argument that Clinton represents the status quo, charging her with accomplishing nothing over her 30 years in public service, which I think, again, is another good thing for him to be hammering home. And I think he needs to use that on every debate and to keep asking that question. You've been in public life. You've been in public service for 30 years. Can you list your accomplishments of flying around the world in the words of former presidential candidate Carly Fiorina, flying around the world, flying thousands and thousands, whatever number of thousands of miles that she rattled off about flying around the world to different countries, that's not an accomplishment, it's an activity. And the other thing here in this report from Fortune.com, the exchange allowed the moderators to follow up with Trump about his alleged non-payment of taxes. He appeared to acknowledge it, asked if he used the $916 million loss he recorded in 1996 to avoid paying income taxes for years. Trump said, of course I do, of course I do, adding that Clinton's top donors have done the same. And basically what this was, there were no laws broken here. He used the tax code. He used the things that are currently in the tax code that are not illegal to take deductions. And for those of us who do fill out our tax forms every year and who do pay our yearly income taxes, why wouldn't you take every deduction that you can possibly can, that you possibly can? Don't we all do that? It just seems like a no-brainer to me. But I think that before I play these clips, I'm going to say just this. I think that the next, how many days out are we now, 25, 24, roughly 3 weeks, 3 weeks out from this election, and we're going to get into the WikiLeaks thing in a minute, because this is going to go. This is going to be a daily, if not every other day, every couple of days, a daily occurrence. And, you know, it's the opinion of a lot of people that, excuse me, that this is building something. And, you know, it remains to be seen what that something is. But I think that this is going to get pretty ugly. We've already had another quote, excuse me, accuser of Donald Trump coming out to say that 30 years ago that he groped her in an elevator or some such thing. Well, first of all, why are you going to wait 30 years to talk about this? And second of all, it has been revealed that this person, I cannot confirm this, but there are reports, I'll put it that way, there are reports, has ties to the Clinton Foundation. So it's, you know, at this point with all the WikiLeaks stuff, the Clinton campaign is just going to start throwing things against the wall to see if it sticks. And, you know, Julian Assange has promised that for all the people who are saying, "Oh, you're only talking about bringing out all the bad stuff about Hillary Clinton. What about all the stuff Donald Trump said?" He's already said that if they do find something on Donald Trump, that they will report it, that they will come forward with it. The thing with Donald Trump, though, is that he doesn't really do email. So that's that maybe that is Hillary Clinton's downfall, is her love of email. But let's get to the sound bites here. Of course, we have Donald Trump talking about, excuse me, should he become the president of the United States, that he would take a closer look. And we're going to talk about this hopefully a little bit later if I can get it all in. As usual, I got a ton of stuff about Hillary Clinton's email situation and the non-prosecution of it by the FBI. So this is talking about Hillary's email, you know, her email, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm a writer. Why can't I think of words? Her oddities, shall we say, with her email.
I didn't think I'd say this, but I'm going to say it, and I hate to say it, but if I win, I am going to instruct my attorney general to get a special prosecutor to look into your situation, because there has never been so many lies, so much deception. There has never been anything like it. And we're going to have a special prosecutor. When I speak, I go out and speak, the people of this country are furious. In my opinion, the people that have been long-term workers at the FBI are furious. There has never been anything like this, where emails and you get a subpoena. You get a subpoena, and after getting the subpoena, you delete 33,000 emails, and then you acid wash them, or bleach them, as you would say, a very expensive process. So we're going to get a special prosecutor, and we're going to look into it, because you know what? People have been, their lives have been destroyed for doing one-fifth of what you've done, and it's a disgrace, and honestly, you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
You know, it is, it's just awfully good that someone with the temperament of Donald Trump is not in charge of the law in our country.
Because you'd be in jail.
Secretary Clinton.
That line is just worth playing over again. It was so awesome. And it obviously, as you could tell by the applause, that it really brought down the house there at Wash U. But, you know, again, I think that Donald Trump represents something to a chunk of people, and that is that, again, for those of us who are old enough to remember all of the scandals, the Clinton scandals of the 90s, and the media, who we have since found out, again, through WikiLeaks, it really just kind of confirmed what we've always thought, was that the mainstream media is just another arm of the Clinton machine. It's another arm of the Democrat Party. It's their propaganda arm. And they have spent decades, literally decades, covering up for the Clintons. And here's finally someone who comes along and says, no, I'm going to hold them accountable, and I'm going to look into this, and I'm going to do this the right way, without any influence, without any plane sitting on a tarmac meetings and things of that nature, that it's going to be handled properly. And again, Donald Trump represents a lot of things to a lot of people, and I honestly do think that is one of the reasons that he is where he is. We're going to talk about poll numbers also too, because, you know, I'm having a hard time with the polls. I'm having a hard time with the poll numbers. I think there is some shenanigans going on. But one more clip here about from the debate last Sunday night, and this is talking about, you know, there has been differing opinions on whether or not Bill Clinton's peccadilloes should come into play here in this campaign. You know, the standard argument is, well, Bill Clinton's not on the ballot. No, he's not on the ballot, but Hillary Clinton's behavior and her character, or the lack of it, is. And because of Bill Clinton's behavior in the 90s and the way the women who claimed that he had sexually assaulted them, and in the case of Juanita Broderick, actually raped her, the women that came forward were vilified, their reputations and their lives were destroyed. And in the case of Juanita Broderick, for anybody who has seen her interviewed, actually intimidated and threatened. Let's call it what it is, threatened by Hillary Clinton. So this is Donald Trump talking about Bill Clinton's extramarital escapades, if you will.
You look at Bill Clinton. Far worse, minor words, and his was action. His was what he's done to women. There's never been anybody in the history of politics in this nation that's been so abusive to women. So you can say any way you want to say it, but Bill Clinton was abusive to women. Hillary Clinton attacked those same women and attacked them viciously. Four of them here tonight. One of the women, who is a wonderful woman, at 12 years old, was raped at 12. Her client, she represented, got him off, and she's seen laughing on two separate occasions, laughing at the girl who was raped. Kathy Shelton, that young woman, is here with us tonight. So don't tell me about words. I apologize for those words. But it is things that people say. But what President Clinton did, he was impeached. He lost his license to practice law. He had to pay an $850,000 fine to one of the women, Paula Jones, who's also here tonight. And I will tell you that when Hillary brings up a point like that, and she talks about words that I said 11 years ago, I think it's disgraceful, and I think she should be ashamed of herself, if you want to know the truth.
Hey, NBC News fans, thanks for checking out our YouTube channel. Subscribe by clicking on that button down here, and click on any of the videos over here to watch.
And there's just a little public service announcement by NBC News guy Lester Holt. Sorry about that. Couldn't cut that off right when I needed to. But again, I think it goes back to Hillary Clinton's behavior surrounding all of these allegations, that we know that any of these women that came forward and accused Bill Clinton of sexual assault and or rape, Hillary Clinton covered for him and made sure that these women she was in charge of the bimbo eruptions. That's what it was. What it came to be known as, the bimbo eruptions. Anytime some woman came forward with an allegation against President Bill Clinton, there was Hillary to run interference and to make sure that these women were never heard from again. And not only that, but she would go one step further and trash their reputations, ruin their lives. And you know, that was her job. That was her job in the administration as first lady, to head off the bimbo eruptions. And I very much, again, granted, Bill Clinton is not on the ballot, but I think it very much goes to her behavior and it goes to her character. And, you know, if we're going to talk about Donald Trump and his talking about women in the way that he did, well, you know, I think that this also needs to be addressed too. And if for nothing else, for people who were too young to remember or weren't even born yet, because there are more and more millennial age people who are finding out about the 90s. And you know what? They're not happy about it. I'm going to take a quick break. We are going to come back. We've got lots more sound bites from last Sunday night to get to. Of course, we have all the WikiLeaks email dumps. And, of course, we have much, much more. So please stay right where you are. You are listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. You are listening to Red Nation Rising Radio Network. Don't go away. I have got plenty more to come. Stay right where you are.
This is Dinesh D'Souza, and you are listening to Red Nation Rising Radio.
Conservative Cauldron Radio.
The following message is brought to you by Health Markets, your first choice when you need health insurance for your small business. Do you offer health insurance to your employees? Call us now and see if you can save money. Do you want to offer vision and dental to your employees? Call us. Do you think you're paying too much for your current health insurance? Call us. Do you want somebody else to do all the legwork and search thousands of health plans from over 180 health insurance companies nationwide? Call us. We're Health Markets, and thanks to a little-known solution, we could help your business save thousands of dollars on health insurance costs and save your employees money, too. Our service is free. Don't miss the great savings. Call now.
800-470-8021. 800-470-8021. 800-470-8021. That's 800-470-8021.
Health Markets Insurance Agency is DBA of InSphere Insurance Solutions, Inc. Licensed in all states. Product availability varies.
Are you getting squeezed by the economic downturn? Hey, you were doing fine. Then, all of a sudden, you're having a tough time paying your family's credit card bills. Maybe you were downsized or even lost a job, but you still owe 10 grand or more in credit card bills, and you just can't afford the minimum payments anymore. We're here to help. We are the Genesis Debt Partners. We know the secrets to negotiate better terms with your creditors. Make a free 10-minute call right now and learn how we can help you get out of debt. 800-807-9767. If you owe 10 grand or more in credit card debt and you want to learn how you can pay less and get out of debt faster, call right now. 800-807-9767. 800-807-9767. Get out of debt now. 800-807-9767.
All right, guys, we're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's going to get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no, we'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, you know, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room. Weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait. A family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Seasons sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975. To find out more, call toll-free 800-962-9119. That's 800-962-9119. Call 800-962-9119 today.
Is debt beating you down? You need discipline. You need
the Debt Ninja.
If you've been caught in a financial trap and need to be set free, then you need
the Debt Ninja.
Want to stop those harassing collection calls, start saving thousands in interest and fees, and get out of debt fast? Then you need to call
the Debt Ninja.
The Debt Ninja will find the best companies across the country that will help you consolidate all your bills into one easy payment, reduce your payments by 30 to 50%, and get you out of debt fast. If you have unsecured debt of $10,000 or more, such as credit cards, loans, or medical bills, call
The Debt Ninja.
For a free 15-minute consultation,
call 800-824-3301. 800-824-3301. That's 800-824-3301. Call today.
The Debt Ninja.
We are back. You are listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. You are listening to Red Nation Rising Radio Network, www.rednationrising.us. Check it out, please. You will not be disappointed. Of course, we are talking about last Sunday's second presidential debate that took place right here in St. Louis at Washington University, and kind of going through some of the hits from that night, the greatest hits, the greatest sound bites of that evening. And the clip I got here now, it's kind of long. It runs a little, about 4.5 minutes long, but it's discussing Hillary and the emails. And we have learned, I want to play this so we can get to the whole WikiLeaks thing and talk about this, because there's another thing. The hits just keep coming with that as well. And I think that we are probably building up to something. Not sure what it is. It remains to be seen. But it's the things that are coming out in these emails are, I think, for people who are willing to take a look at it and look at who Hillary Clinton really is. And I think that's another thing that Donald Trump really needs to hit home as the things in these emails are coming out. Not just talk about the issues, stay away from the Twitter account, stay away from the petty sniping and infighting and things like that. Illustrate just exactly who Hillary Clinton is, because she is not who she portrays herself to be. Concentrate on that and concentrate on the issues. And I don't think it's any more complicated than that, more complicated than that. But here is here is Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton discussing her email situation.
Yeah. Because you'd be in jail.
Secretary Clinton.
We want to remind the audience to please not talk out loud. Please do not applaud. You're just wasting time.
And Secretary Clinton, I do want to follow up on emails. You've said your handling of your emails was a mistake. You disagreed with FBI Director James Comey, calling your handling of classified information, quote, extremely careless. The FBI said that there were 110 classified emails that were exchanged, 8 of which were top secret, and that it was possible hostile actors did gain access to those emails. You don't call that extremely careless?
Well, Martha, first let me say, and I've said it before, but I'll repeat it because I want everyone to hear it. That was a mistake, and I take responsibility for using a personal email account. Obviously, if I were to do it over again, I would not. I'm not making any excuses. It was a mistake, and I am very sorry about that. But I think it's also important to point out where there are some misleading accusations from critics and others. After a year-long investigation, there is no evidence that anyone hacked the server I was using, and there is no evidence that anyone can point to at all. Anyone who says otherwise has no basis that any classified material ended up in the wrong hands. I take classified materials very seriously. And always have. When I was on the Senate Armed Services Committee, I was privy to a lot of classified material. Obviously, as Secretary of State, I had some of the most important secrets that we possess, such as going after bin Laden. So I am very committed to taking classified information seriously. And as I said, there is no evidence that any classified information ended up in the wrong hands.
Okay, we're going to move on.
And yet, she didn't know the letter C on a document, right? She didn't even know what that letter meant. You know, it's amazing. I'm watching Hillary go over facts, and she's going after fact, and she's lying again because she said she, you know, what she did with emails was fine. You think it was fine to delete 33,000 emails? I don't think so. She said the 33,000 emails had to do with her daughter's wedding, number one, and a yoga class. Well, maybe we'll give three or four or five or something. 33,000 emails deleted. And now she's saying there wasn't anything wrong. And more importantly, that was after getting a subpoena. That wasn't before. That was after. She got it from the United States Congress. And I'll be honest, I am so disappointed in congressmen, including Republicans, for allowing this to happen. Our Justice Department, where her husband goes onto the back of an airplane for 39 minutes, talks to the Attorney General days before a ruling is going to be made on her case. But for you to say that there was nothing wrong with you deleting 39,000 emails, again, you should be ashamed of yourself. What you did, and this is after getting a subpoena from the United States Congress.
We have to move on. Secretary Clinton, you can respond, then we got to move on.
We want to give the audience
a chance
here.
Put in jail, let alone after getting a subpoena from the United States Congress.
Secretary Clinton, you can respond, then we have to move on to an audience question.
Look, it's just not true, and so please go.
Oh, you didn't delete them?
Allow her to respond, please.
Personal emails, not official.
33,000?
Not. Well, we turned over 35,000, so it was.
What about the other 15,000?
Please allow her to respond. She didn't talk while you talked.
Yes, that's true. I didn't.
Because I didn't in the first debate,
and I'm going to try not to in this debate because I'd like to get to the questions that the people have brought here tonight to talk to us about.
And get off this question.
Okay, Donald, I know you're into big diversion tonight, anything to avoid talking about your campaign and the way it's exploding and the way Republicans are leaving you. But let's at least focus on some of the issues that people care about tonight. Let's get to their questions.
We have a question here from Ken Karpowitz. He has a question about health care. Ken?
I'd like to know, Anderson, why aren't you bringing up the emails? I'd like to know. Why aren't you
getting
to the bottom?
We brought up the emails.
No, it hasn't. It hasn't. And it hasn't been finished at all.
Ken Karpowitz has a question.
It's nice to one on three.
Donald Trump is right. It is one on three, and it's really, if you think about it, it's kind of one on four. He is running against Hillary Clinton. He's running against liberal Democrats. He's running against the Republican Party, the establishment in the Republican Party. He's certainly running against the media, who again is just the we've been confirmed for us that they are just the press office for the Clinton campaign and for the Democrat Party. And I love, and not only myself, I think, but a lot of other people love the fact that Donald Trump was calling them out on this and addressing them about how they would not – certain questions that they would not – that they won't ask her about. You're not going to hear them asking about Juanita Broderick or Paula Jones or Kathleen Willey or Kathy Shelton, who was 12 years old at the time that Hillary Clinton – was the defense attorney for the man accused of brutally raping her and is heard on tape laughing about it. And that's – well, I do have a clip of that, but it's too long for me to play. But for anybody who doesn't know when about the story, when Hillary Clinton was a young defense attorney back in the 70s in Arkansas, she defended a man who was accused of – brutally raping a 12-year-old girl. So horrific was this attack that this girl was in a coma for 5 days and was not ever able to have children. That's how brutally this man attacked her. And Hillary's defense, it wouldn't be admissible today because most every state has a what's called a rape shield law, which means that you can't, as a defense attorney, you cannot portray the victim as, you know, kind of a she was asking for it kind of defense. But she's heard on tape laughing about this case. And again, it goes to her character or the lack of it. But I think I'm going to move on here in a minute. This is only about a minute long, this last clip. As the emails have come out from the WikiLeaks document dumps here, one of the things that we have learned is that Hillary Clinton thinks it's perfectly okay to have a public position on certain issues and a private one. And the way that she explained this, I thought was about as equal as to her trying to defend herself against all of the emails that we just heard Donald Trump talking about, that all she can come up with is, well, it's just not true. Well, it's just not true. Well, I know you're living in an alternate universe, Donald, and it's all she's got. She just deny. And it's a classic Saul Alinsky tactic as well. For anybody who has read any of Rules for Radicals or knows anything about the whole Alinsky philosophy, that's one of those things. You deny. And I think it's getting, as more things come out, I think it's getting pretty weak, and I think it's getting pretty pathetic. But the thing that she blamed this revelation of a private versus a public position on certain issues, you have to be the most consummate of liars to come up with this explanation. Let's listen.
This question involves WikiLeaks' release of purported excerpts of Secretary Clinton's paid speeches, which she has refused to release, and one line in particular in which you, Secretary Clinton, purportedly say you need both a public and private position on certain issues. So, two from Virginia asks, is it okay for politicians to be two-faced? Is it acceptable for a politician to have a private stance on issues? Secretary Clinton,
well,
your 2 minutes.
Right. As I recall, that was something I said about Abraham Lincoln after having seen the wonderful Steven Spielberg movie called Lincoln. It was a masterclass watching President Lincoln get the Congress to approve the 13th Amendment.
I think I should
Mr.
respond
Trump.
Because it's so ridiculous. Look, now she's blaming, she got caught in a total lie. Her papers went out to all her friends at the banks, Goldman Sachs and everybody else, and she said things, WikiLeaks, that just came out, and she lied. Now she's blaming the lie on the late, great Abraham Lincoln. That's one that I haven't. Okay, Honest Abe. Honest Abe never lied. That's the good thing. That's the big difference between Abraham Lincoln and you. That's a big, big difference. We're talking about some difference. But
seriously? Seriously? She's going to blame this revelation about her having a public and a private position on things on a movie about Abraham Lincoln, of all people? It was so patently obvious to me when I saw her say this that it was one big fat honking lie, like everything else that her mouth. The reaction to that, had everyone else's reaction had to be just like mine. Had to be like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? But and Donald Trump, I think, put it best when he just said it's so ridiculous. But it's, you know, when people talk about character and they talk about when they talk about, you know, politicians saying one thing in private, another thing on the stump, on the campaign trail, it's, I think they all do it to some degree, but Hillary Clinton doesn't even try to hide it anymore. She doesn't even try to make it look good anymore. And that's what we're dealing with. And we know this by all of these document dumps. It's Friday. It's easy for me to say. We know about this from all of these WikiLeaks document dumps. And as more things come out, and the media is doing their very best to ignore this. They're doing their very best job to try to gloss it over and to prop her up and to not talk about it in any way. Because apparently if they don't talk about it, it didn't happen. But a few of these things, and of course, the Clinton campaign, Hillary Clinton and her flunkies in the Clinton campaign are blaming this all on the Russians. The Russians are hacking her email account. So I guess I would be remiss if I did not warn you all to please guard your email accounts, because you never know when the Russians might be hacking into it. That's right in the category with the well, I said that because I was watching an Abe Lincoln movie. That it's all the same, you know, it's all in the same vein there. But we are finding out things like, the phrase, and this has been misquoted here, and in all fairness, I want to quote it properly, that she was quoted as saying that she does not like the phrase. These are from emails from John Podesta, who was Bill Clinton's chief of staff, I believe, and he is now Hillary Clinton's campaign chairman. And these were emails that were from him, and that Hillary Clinton does not like using the phrase, quote, everyday Americans. Well, I'm guessing that she probably doesn't really like everyday Americans either, but she just wants them to vote for her. And by some of the things that are coming out here, that she has also admitted in there's been some admissions in some of the John Podesta emails that that she really is very much out of touch with the lives of ordinary everyday people like you and I, people who get up and go to work every morning and try to make ends meet in this economy and try to raise your children and just do all the things that normal, regular, average, everyday Americans try to do, that she is very out of touch with that. And there's other things here coming out as well. Some of the groups of people that she has talked about, and actually her husband is not making it any easier for her too. We already know, when was that, a week ago, 2 weeks ago, when Bill Clinton was giving a campaign speech for her, that he was describing Obamacare as something that was completely awful. Really not, because I think we all know without a doubt that not only would Hillary Clinton keep everything about Obamacare in place, she would expand it and make it more horrific. And but Bill Clinton was also on the campaign trail this week, and he was talking about Donald Trump's base, you know, the base of deplorables that Hillary Clinton described Donald Trump supporters as. And this was during a speech at Palm Beach State College in Belgrade, Florida. This took place on Tuesday of this week, that former President Bill Clinton said, quote, "Look, man, the other guy's base is what I grew up in." And he went on to say that, you know, that I'm going to do my best, which is not very good, my best Bill Clinton imitation. You know, I'm basically just your standard redneck. That's so not only are Donald Trump supporters deplorable and irredeemable, but apparently they're just a bunch of redneck hayseed rubes who just Donald Trump tells them to do something and they go, okay, and we just go right along with it. But so Donald Trump supporters are basically just uncivilized rednecks to the Clinton campaign. And we also know that they're not very fond of Catholics either. There's also some emails coming out about these emails were from 2011. It was an email exchange between Jennifer Palmieri, who is one of Hillary's top aides, and John Podesta. And they're discussing the fact that 21st Century Fox chairman Rupert Murdoch, former chairman of Fox News, and News Corp chairman Robert Thompson were raising their children Catholic. And they charged that some in the church were involved in, quote, an amazing bastardization of the faith. Palmieri responds, I'm sorry, this is also includes, this thread also includes John Halpin. He is from the Center for American Progress, which is a big, huge lib think tank. And he went on to say, quote, "They must be attracted to the systemic thought and severely backward gender relations." John Podesta, who actually is a Roman Catholic, did not respond to this. Palmieri responds, quote, "I imagine they think it is the most socially acceptable, politically conservative religion. The rich friends wouldn't understand if they became evangelicals." And, of course, there has been much, since this has come out, there has been some calls for Jennifer Palmieri to resign her position as a top Hillary. But what's interesting is that back in 2012, 27% of American Catholics voted for Barack Obama. So there is a swath of American Catholics that lean kind of liberal. And but these comments are you know, they're talking about Donald Trump, but you're maligning a whole group of people here based on their religion and based on what they believe. And as someone who's a member of a minority religion, that hits close to home with me. We also know that there are emails referring to, quote, needy Latinos. And something very new from this morning, I couldn't find anything on it just yet, but there is – You can look it up probably later on. I'm going to have to take a quick break here, and we'll come back and wrap things up. But if you look, you may hear about it later on today, something to the effect of former NAACP head Benjamin Jealous and whether or not he really deserves any power or not, something along those lines, just a little teaser there, just a little bit to wet the whistle for maybe some future email document dumps here. I'm going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to wrap things up. Some FBI agents are pretty hot about Hillary not being prosecuted for her email infidelities, as it were. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. You're listening to Red Nation Rising Radio Network. I'll be right back.
Hey, folks. Kevin Jackson here, host of The Kevin Jackson Show. You're listening to Red Nation Rising Radio.
Conservative Cauldron Radio.
Boy, man, I had a rough night's sleep. Boy, whew, I got a letter from the IRS yesterday, and I just couldn't sleep. Man, I'm dying here. Somebody help me.
IRS problems affect more than just your finances. If you're ready to take back control of your life and you owe more than $10,000, you need to call the Tax Doctor. Their expert staff can immediately protect you from the IRS and state collectors and get you the best possible tax settlement guaranteed. The IRS has recently released new programs geared in helping struggling taxpayers, where you may qualify to settle your tax debt and wipe out up to 85% or more of what you currently owe. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call the Tax Doctor right now. See if you qualify to pay less. 800-631-9123. 800-631-9123. 800-631-9123. Again, 800-631-9123.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the health insurance hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more. 800-926-4501. 800-926-4501. 800-926-4501. 800-926-4501.
Hi there, I'm Slammin' Sam Myers, and I would like to invite you to listen to fun, exciting oldies, The Fox. It's an internet radio station that is like nothing else you've ever heard before. Most classic hit stations have a music library of 500 or maybe 1,000 songs. The Fox Oldies has several thousand. We play songs that radio has forgotten. My favorite thing to hear is I haven't heard that song in years. You'll hear music from the 50s like Elvis Presley, and every once in a while a current song that adults enjoy like Uptown Funk. It's real heavy on the music from 1970 to 1981. Tune in to www.thefoxoldies.com. Tune in, and I promise you, you're going to hear something within an hour that you have not heard in a very, very long time. That's what the Fox Oldies specializes in. It's music that will put a smile on your face. And music that does not have to be censored. It's fun, exciting oldies. The Fox at www.thefoxoldies.com.
Attention business owners. We know that owning a business means getting things done right now. So if your right now list includes a new building, call the Right Now Company. General Steel. We can design a building for your business quickly and save you thousands of dollars. That's right, thousands. You may think General Steel only builds large projects or that you can't afford General Steel quality. Well, check these prices. How about a 40 by 60 foot building for under $22,000? Or even a 50 by 100 for under $35,000? That's right, a 5,000 square foot building for under $35,000. And these buildings all have General Steel quality. Best of all, you can still order a building and have it delivered in time to build this year. How's that for right now? So if your right now list includes a new building, call the right now company, General Steel.
800-398-8309, 800-398-8309, 800-398-8309. That's 800-398-8309.
We're back. You're listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I am Becky Noble, TGIF. You are listening to Red Nation Rising Radio Network. Check it out. It is awesome. Tons of great stuff there. Very quickly, before we have to get out of here today, excuse me, a little polling info here. According to Real Clear Politics, right now today in some several battleground states here, Florida, Clinton 45.1, Trump 42.4. Ohio, Clinton 44, Trump 42.4. Pennsylvania, Clinton 47.2, Trump 38.8. New Hampshire, Clinton 43.3, Trump 39.7. North Carolina, Clinton 45, Trump 42.1. Iowa, Clinton 38, Trump 41.7. Nevada, Clinton 43.2, Trump 41.8. A couple of post-debate polls here puts Clinton up by 3 in New Hampshire, Trump up by 1 in Ohio, Clinton up by 2 polls here from North Carolina. NBC Wall Street Journal Marist has Clinton up by 4, Suffolk has Clinton up by 2, Texas Trump up by 4, Virginia Clinton up by 3, Georgia Trump up by 6. So a lot of these are within the margin of error, and you know, here's the thing with poll numbers. I think that you can make poll numbers say just about anything you want them to say based on who you poll, based on who you don't poll, based on the questions you ask. I'm certainly not a pollster, but I think that if you ask a pollster, the number of factors involved that go into polling someone just on the basis of asking them one question, I would imagine the factors that go into that are staggering. That you really, you don't, until you're into it, nobody really has any idea. Certain people at the FBI are not pleased with FBI Director James Comey. This is a Newsmax report from Wednesday. FBI Director James Comey's recommendation that former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton not be prosecuted for using a private email server did not sit well with lower-ranking members of the agency or at the Justice Department. Fox News reports an anonymous source involved in the case said, no trial-level attorney agreed, no agent working on the case agreed with the decision not to prosecute. It was a top-down decision, the source identified as a senior FBI official told FoxNews.com. Comey's decision was not a unanimous decision, the source said, adding it was unanimous that we all wanted her, Hillary Clinton, that we all wanted her security clearance yanked. It is well known that the FBI agents on the ground, the human beings who did the investigative work, had built an extremely strong case against Hillary Clinton and were furious when the case did not move forward. Fox News judicial analyst Andrew Napolitano said they believe the decision not to prosecute came from the White House. Comey on July 5th announced his agency would not recommend prosecution, though his description of Clinton's actions led critics to believe he should have. Comey testified to Congress that the governing statute requires intent and that his investigation was unable to prove intent. Basically, James Comey hijacked the DOJ's role by saying no reasonable prosecutor would bring this case, the FBI source said. The FBI does not decide who to prosecute and when. This is the sole province of a prosecutor. That never happens. So there's a lot of people who are pretty hacked off about this, and you never know. We may be hearing more about it. But very quickly here, nearly 100,000 Pennsylvania Democrats have switched to the Republican Party since the beginning of the year. That is from the, believe this is from the CBS local affiliate in Pittsburgh. So again, that goes to poll numbers, and poll numbers are not always what they appear to be. But very quickly today, before we have to call it a Friday. This is a man who really, really, really loves his car. As Hurricane Matthew made landfall and buffeted the Florida coast, Randy Jaleel of Port St. Lucie decided there was no place like home for his pristine 1988 BMW M3, as in driving it through the front door and parking it behind his couch. It's my pride and joy, and any of my friends that know me understand how much I love it, he told InsideEdition.com. The last thing I needed was any kind of damage to my car. Luckily, Jaleel had double-wide front doors. He measured the opening, discovered it was 73 inches, which was wider than his car. With some help from his dad, he drove it right in with inches to spare, he said. He posted photos of his automotive baby on Instagram, and soon car publications like Motor Trend were putting his images online. One photo shows him eating breakfast with his car. Another frame shows it nestled firmly behind his comfy couch. Jaleel recently returned to Florida after 7 years in the Air Force. He had forgotten what it was like to ride out a big storm. But it all turned out well, and the storm had little effect in his area. We enjoyed a nice breakfast together the morning after the hurricane, he said. As someone who had a dad who was a car guy, member of the Corvette Club, I understand that. I understand that. Why would you think that's odd? You just roll it in behind the couch. With that, I am out of here. Everyone have a fantastic weekend. You can find me at theconservativecauldron.blogspot.com, politichicks.com. Hope to be getting something finished up and put up there next week, new really quickly, facebook.com/BeckyNoble, and on Twitter at PatriotWitch. Everyone have a fantastic weekend, and I will see you next time.
Get up. If you're tired.